today on Mother Mayhem.
What's important here is that you are stopping and thinking about how she's making you feel, how your body is reacting to her before, during, and after an interaction with her, and then you're deciding your boundary from there. Welcome back to Mother Mayhem, the Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Podcast for Daughters. I'm your host, Heather Gray, and today I get to introduce you to Haley. Do any of you guys know the actress Haley Mills from the old Disney movies? I'm probably dating myself more and more with each passing episode as I name our listeners. But I loved all of the Haley Mills movies when I was a kid. Something made me think of her recently and how the Haley Mills movies were something I binged on before binging was a thing. So Haley, our podcast listener, you are being named Haley. The actress kept me company when I was a kid with her movies, and you have been such a good friend of the show. I thought it was appropriate. So here's Haley with her question, and I'm going to find you guys on the other side. Hi, Heather. Just a suggestion. I would love to hear a discussion on the podcast about low contact and how to approach that. There's a lot of talk about no contact, but what about low contact? What happens when mom wants to talk or maybe even asks where you've been? I moved across the country to get away, and as I'm learning more about how she is, thanks to you, I know that I really don't want to be in close contact. I decided to stop calling my parents because I was the only one that ever reached out. I got tired of having that responsibility fall on me, and also got tired of their political comments and opinions, which are the polar opposite of mine. I frequently have to shut them down when they make those kinds of comments. They don't really ask what's going on in our lives, how we are, or what's new. It's a transactional and superficial relationship about weather and their dogs. But the other day, my mom reached out and texted me to ask, "Let me know when a good time to chat is." I wanted to respond and say never, but I knew there was no way out of it. I tried to keep the conversation short and not provide very much ammunition in the way of details. Just wondering if there are other strategies or ways of handling and implementing this. Thanks for your time. Haley, I am really so glad you brought this up. You're right. We don't actually talk about low contact on the show. And to be honest, I almost find myself feeling a little bit nervous about talking about it now. Those of you who have been listening to the show for a while now know that one of the reasons I did this show in the first place is because I got tired of the my way or the highway advice that is given out about narcissistic abuse recovery. I've always been limited to two things. First, they like to go on and on about all the awful things that narcissists do and all the ways that they manipulate you. Things like that make for some good clickbait, after all. Then they go on to pushing no contact, and they simply say that no contact is the only option, and I hope by now that you know my stance on this. I do not think that no contact is the only way, but I do think that if daughters are going to stay in relationship with their narcissistic mothers, they have to find a way to make it so that relationship is not dysregulating or traumatizing. You're never going to be able to make it so your mom doesn't dysregulate you, nor can you prevent your mother from being further traumatizing towards you. She's going to do what she's going to do as long as you're in relationship with her. She is going to be a narcissistic or emotionally limited mother who is going to say or do narcissistic or emotionally limited things. Expecting her not to, or making any kind of plan that relies on her not doing so, is an epic setup to fail for both of you. Now, you all heard me talk to Meredith a couple of weeks ago about armoring up and neutralizing the narcissist's weapons by removing the power they hold. We do this by removing the narrative your mom is putting behind the words and the actions and assigning your own narrative and your own interpretation instead. So your mom might be choosing to make you feel small, not enough, or unaccepted, but that is not a narrative you need to own as true about yourself. All of you daughters who are still in relationship with your moms will have this same task in front of you, ignoring your mother's narrative and replacing it with your own. One of the ways a lot of people who need to remain in relationship with narcissists for one reason or another will try to do this is by doing something called low contact. Instead of a firm, hard line of no contact, daughters and survivors are going to try for low contact or lower contact. I've worked with daughters who only email their parents. I've worked with daughters who only exchange holiday cards. I've had clients who only see and engage with their parents when they're in the company of other people, like siblings. I rarely have professional recommendations for what qualifies specifically as low contact or what low contact should look like for you. I think that's entirely personal, but the goal for yourself is to find the level of contact that works for you. Now, at one point, my husband, for example, was in medical school. He informed his mom that he wouldn't talk to her when school was in session. He would get back in touch on breaks, but found her entirely too disruptive and too dysregulating to be in contact with while he was trying to study for medical school and get through his training. Haley, it sounds like you already have some version of low contact going on. So please allow me to walk through for a second for the other listeners on how they might think about this and decide whether or not this is something they want for themselves. So here goes. Thinking about going low or no contact often happens in reaction to something. Most daughters have a moment of knowing that something needs to change. It's no longer just that they're sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. It's also that they feel in their bodies a moment of knowing that the way it's been going just doesn't work. Now, I saw an Instagram post recently, and you know all the best information comes and all the most scientific information comes from Instagram. But I saw this post that says your body will notify you when someone has pushed you too far. It's as if the choice has suddenly been made for you. Now, this can be confusing for some of you, especially when we start talking about how trauma brain wires us for protection and how trauma brain can sometimes misfire and tell us that a safe person isn't actually safe. I want to remind all of you listening to this particular episode that this isn't what we're talking about. What I want to remind all of you listening is that you wouldn't be here, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast if you didn't already know that your mother wasn't safe. You are here listening because you already know something isn't right and that it needs to be adjusted. So if your body is reacting and whispering to you, now, listen, your body is protecting you. It's telling you that whatever level of contact you currently have is just a bit too much contact. So do yourselves a favor and check in with your bodies and listen to the answers you find. What is your body trying to tell you? Do you get anxious and tense when you see that your mom is calling, when she sends you an unexpected text? What is your body saying to you when you see her name come up on your phone? This might be the moment where your body is saying, not this. Maybe you only have that thought or feeling as a passing thought or feeling, or maybe you're starting to come to have it every single time you think about her or consider contact with her. One of the things that got really confusing for my own husband is that once he had me in his life, his mom actually didn't dysregulate him as much as she had used to because he had me validating that she was crazy. So some of you might find that you're okay as long as you have siblings with you or have your partners with you. When sometimes it feels okay to be in contact with your mom and other times it doesn't feel okay, it can be really hard and confusing to know what your own hard line is. Deciding what your boundary is and what it's going to be might take some time. You might have to try a few different things before you land anywhere. We used to see, for example, my husband's mother on Christmas Eve. But she created such a shit show one year that we decided that the week before would be better for us, and we started to see her either the week before or after instead. It's easy to think that low contact should be that kind of a hard line, and for some of you, it's going to be. Others, you might be deciding your boundary or your limit based on your current energy level at the time, what else is going on, and what other competing pulls for your attention might be. You might also find that sometimes she's more triggering for you than she is at others. What's important here is that you are stopping and thinking about how she's making you feel, how your body is reacting to her before, during, and after an interaction with her, and then you're deciding your boundary from there. This means, my friends, that all of you have to start working on a version of stop and think. Your moms are masters at getting you in a cornered position, making you think that you have to answer immediately, and creating scenarios where saying yes to her feels like the only option. However, a yes before you've thought it through usually does lead to a world of hurt and regret. So I would encourage you to get used to saying different versions of, I will need to think about that. You guys need your stop and think time to zoom out that lens, to consider what you're willing to say yes to, and to work through how you're going to communicate that limit or boundary. Backed up against a wall, you're usually going to find it easier to acquiesce. But with some distance and some time to take a beat and take a breath, what you're willing to do will usually find its way to you. She, of course, is likely to challenge you. She might say something, for example, like, I can't imagine what there is to think about. I only asked you for a cup of coffee. But still, if you can get used to stopping and thinking and ignoring her upset at you taking stop and think time, you're largely going to be setting yourself up for more success. So anticipate it. Anticipate that she's not going to understand your need for stop and think time. Anticipate that she might mock you, she might be disgruntled, or she might try to make you feel guilty. Once you already know how someone is going to act or how someone is going to be, and you haven't even participated in that conversation, you can remind yourselves that it can't possibly be about you. As much as you can ignore or disconnect from her nonsense, the better. I know you don't get it, Mom. That's okay. What I would like for you to consider doing is something like this. Mom, I know you want an immediate yes to this. I can't offer you one. If you absolutely need a yes right now, I need to decline, and perhaps we can try for next time. If she pushes you, if she pressures you, manipulates you, she gets a no. Now, that might make you throw up a little bit in your mouth. I know that can be really nerve-wracking to think about. You might feel like you can't do that. But that, my friends, is the moment when the boundary you've set is getting crossed. And if you allow it to be crossed, you are going to feel it in your bodies, and you will likely experience that as dysregulating. In order to avoid dysregulation, you need to know and own that you have control over your time, your physical boundaries, your emotional boundaries, your time boundaries, and your financial boundaries. So for the sake of being more regulated, you have to allow yourselves that stop and think time, so you can consciously choose what works for you. Then, once you do have that stop and think time, you can think about how you want to communicate your boundary, your limit, or your decision. And I would keep it super simple and direct. This is what I can do. This is what I can't. If you're asked why, if she starts a debate, if she presses you on it, I would encourage you to lean on, I have decided XYZ. So in your example, Haley, when she asks you when you're free to talk, you can answer her directly with a date and time that works for you. If you aren't in a space where you want to talk to her, you can let her know that you're busy for the next few weeks, but you will reach out when something opens up. You guys already know this, of course, but most likely moms are going to challenge you on that. So if you're like Haley, where contact is pretty minimal, I would just acknowledge the elephant in the room. I know you wish we talked more often, but that isn't the kind of relationship we have, and I'm not looking for a different kind of one. So many times the boundary conversations feel like they get all tangled up in the why conversations. So before you tell your parents you only want to talk to them once a month, it feels like you have to tell them all the reasons why you have the boundaries, all the ways they've failed you, all the ways they've hurt you, and all the ways they've contributed to why this is true. This is true, but this isn't the time for that conversation. I have found what works best for me. I have found what I prefer. I have found, etc., etc. Just name the decision. You don't have to name the why. Some of you may find yourselves moving from more regular contact to low contact, and making that change can be and feel hard and weird to communicate. So just state the obvious. We've been fighting a lot, Mom, or you've been displeased with our relationship for a while, so I think we need to make a change. Now pay attention, all of you, to what it is I'm doing here. I'm making it sentences. Narcissists and emotionally limited people aren't capable of that conversation that so many of you are craving, and frankly, you all deserve. Remember, they have broken lenses. They're never going to see themselves or your relationships with them as you see them. They simply aren't capable of that. I also think it's really important to zoom out the lens a bit and to remind yourselves that a request for or a statement of a low-contact relationship would be a really hard pill to swallow for anyone. Think of it for a second. What would it be like for you if someone were to ask you for a lower-contact relationship, if they said they wanted less time, less connection, less sort of availability with you? You can be totally capable of receiving a boundary like that, and still, you are going to feel the sting. Hearing that can hurt. So remember what we know about your moms. They cannot tolerate those hurt feelings. They can't sit in them. So they're going to work to change the narrative of what it is that's happening. I tell you this not to make you feel bad about setting the boundary or to leave you second guessing as to whether or not you should, but to remind you that you cannot expect your mom to seamlessly accept your boundary. It isn't a realistic expectation. If she could smile and nod and communicate understanding, in all likelihood, she wouldn't be a narcissist. So given that, your boundaries have to be clean and they have to be direct. And if your moms argue with you, you say, I know this isn't what you want. Would you rather not? Be okay with them answering that with a yes. Be okay with them going silent on you. They will likely make you the unacceptable one, so anticipate that. Get ahead of it and simply say, I understand, or I accept that. Remember what I've said so many times on the show before. There is no perfect script for delivering a boundary that is going to guarantee you that your moms will hear you, accept you, and agree with you. That isn't the purpose of the boundary. So you have to keep it simple, clean, and direct. If they push you away, if they increase the distance, let them. In doing that, your moms are showing you what they are and aren't capable of. So it is really best to take them at their word and agree. And of course, so many of you have moms who quickly escalate when you try to disconnect. They'll bait you, they'll mock you, they'll challenge you, they'll guilt trip you. Just ignore it, because in those moments, you have one of two choices. You either put up or you shut up. You'll either be in the relationship or out, and odds are that's an impossible choice when the pressure is that high. Odds are you'll be removing yourselves from the conversation by using that stop and think technique. Now, Haley and everyone listening, I know I haven't covered every scenario here. Hopefully, I've taught all of you how you might be thinking about making this decision, how you might consider it for yourselves, and how you might communicate it. But I know I didn't cover this topic nearly enough. However, listing off hypotheticals that you might encounter also feels a little bit feeble. So this is how I want to do this. If you are sitting here listening to me and saying, well, what do we do about XYZ? What about when my mom ABC? How do I manage DEF? If you're listening to me, trying to figure out your low contact standard boundary and you find yourselves getting stuck, here's what I want you to do. Email me over at heather@daughtersnpd.com. Put low contact in the subject line so I know what it's about, and I will start to tackle your questions on Instagram in the coming week or in the coming weeks. And if you're on Instagram and you already haven't followed me, please do give me a follow over at daughtersnpd. I get an influx of questions and often I answer some of the overflow over there. Now, if I get a large number of you writing in about this issue, I'll turn it into a bonus episode of the show. That seems to make more sense than coming up with these random made-up scenarios that may or may not apply to you. Haley, thank you so much for starting this conversation. I have a feeling that this is just the beginning, so thank you for opening the door, for challenging me to think about how I might teach you guys this concept and how you might all go about it. And more so, Haley, thank you so much for being such a consistent supporter of the show. I really, really do appreciate you. All of you are in a community of women around the world who are in this with you, and I am for sure too. Bye for now. I'm so grateful that you're here. You're right where you're supposed to be. At its heart, I'm hoping to use this show to build a community of women working together to heal from childhoods marked by maternal narcissism and emotional neglect. My goal for Mother Mayhem is that this show becomes an advice and mentoring-driven show where you share your questions, struggles, and stories, and I offer you direction for healing and recovery. That can't happen without your contributions. I invite you to send a recorded voice memo or write in an email with your questions and things you're struggling with. You can always find me over at heather@daughtersnpd.com. To connect further, I invite you to find me over at Instagram and occasionally on TikTok at DaughtersNPD. If you know another woman who needs this conversation in her life, I'm going to ask that you share the show with her. You can help me get the word out with your reviews and social shares of the show, and I hope you'll consider doing so. Special thanks to Heather Clark for editing this show. She's in my head and knows what I meant to say when the words come out backwards. Thanks for your time today. I'm always in it with you. Bye for now.